This is Weekend Edition on WNYC. I'm David Furst. New York City has been at the center of the two biggest news stories in the nation this year. The city was one of the global epicenters of the COVID-19 pandemic, and it has seen some of the biggest protests against police violence and discriminatory policing in the 2 weeks since George Floyd's death. And Mayor de Blasio has come under intense criticism over the handling of both. After a weekend of largely peaceful protest marred by incidents of looting, the mayor imposed a curfew, and that led to repeated confrontations between large groups of protesters and the police. And this week, a crowd drowned the mayor out when he spoke at a memorial for George Floyd in Brooklyn. Some of the mayor's longtime defenders have called this a turning point. And a letter from 400 current and former de Blasio administration staffers denounced his handling of the protests and called for the mayor to rein in the NYPD. We are joined now by Michelle Goldberg, an opinion columnist with the New York Times. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Michelle, you have praised the mayor in the past for his free school lunch and universal free pre-K programs, and you've called him a successful mayor. But your headline this week was the de Blasio disappointment. How is the COVID pandemic and the protests over the death of George Floyd in police custody rewriting his legacy?
Well, look, as you know, these are two of the biggest challenges that New York City has faced in, you know, not just years, but decades. And he's really shown himself to be not up to either. I mean, he was very, I think, disappointing in his handling of the COVID pandemic, particularly early on, telling New Yorkers to go out, get on with their lives, you know, ride the subway, go out to eat, when I think we know that if we had shut down earlier the way San Francisco did, we could have had a much less devastating loss of life in New York City. But what's in a way even more shocking, particularly to people who are really excited about de Blasio when he ran for office, is the way that he's responded to these protests over the killing of George Floyd. I mean, this is someone who ran for mayor as a police reformer, right? Talked about ending the stop and frisk. There was an ad with his biracial son, Dante, where he talked about, you know, what de Blasio would do for the city that at the time was, you know, credited for his victory in the primary.
He's got the boldest plan to build affordable housing, and he's the only one who will end a stop and frisk era that unfairly targets people of color. Bill de Blasio will be a mayor.
And so to see him not just side with the police, but when he's talked about the protests, he really seems to see them almost wholly through the eyes of law enforcement and seems to be sort of checked out of the really disproportionate police response and, you know, just so many incidences of police instigation and police violence that are being caught on video that everybody can see for themselves.
Well, you call out one moment as a real breaking point for a lot of people. This was last weekend when the mayor did not strongly defend protesters after that video surfaced of two police SUVs pushing through a crowd and knocking several people over. Here's how the mayor initially responded. He's talking here about the protesters in the streets.
They've been surrounding police cars, surrounding police vans, attempting to do violence to police officers and to the vehicles. And that's exactly what you saw in that video. It is a troubling video. And I wish the officers hadn't done that, but I have to be clear. They were being surrounded by people who are attacking that vehicle.
Well, look, I think it makes sense that, you know, the position of a mayor as opposed to the position of a community activist and a city council member, which is what de Blasio was before, are different. And it's, you know, I don't think that it's surprising that his perspective would change and that he, you know, he now prioritizes the need to keep order. And that makes sense. Again, what's shocking is just his sort of, you know, repeated failure to also empathize with the protesters, to also, you know, kind of promise to protect their safety, particularly as the incidents of police violence have multiplied. You know, and I think there's increasing evidence that this curfew is making things worse because it just ends up kind of criminalizing a lot of otherwise lawful behavior and providing a pretext either to arrest people who are protesting or people who are just going about their jobs, including their jobs as essential workers. And for people who supported de Blasio, worked to get him elected because they thought that, you know, again, that he would be a police reformer, that he would represent a break from some of the really harsh policing that we saw, not just in under Giuliani, but also under Michael Bloomberg. It's really a betrayal.
How much does his previous contentious relationship with the police department play into his approach now? Police famously turned their backs on de Blasio after the killings of officers Wenjin Liu and Rafael Ramos in 2014. These were the officers that were killed in their car after protests over the death of Eric Garner, who died after being placed in a police chokehold.
When I've spoken to people who worked for de Blasio, you know, they've definitely described that as a deeply traumatic moment, and I think as a turning point for his administration, because he's never really been able to establish authority over the police or to garner their respect. Instead, I think he's been cowed, and as I wrote in my column, he had seen police officers nearly riot against Democratic Mayor David Dinkins when Dinkins had started creating a civilian complaint review board. And I, you know, from people I've spoken to, that had a really big influence on his political understanding of what happens if the police truly turn on you.
People have been attacking police vehicles. The stress on the police force is real. Over this past year, we have also seen a very high number of suicides among the NYPD. And to be fair to the mayor, he has called out bad police behavior. He has defended peaceful protest.
You're right. He has certainly, you know, kind of said some of the right words about peaceful protests. Often when there's been clear instances of peaceful protesters or of protesters being attacked, he sort of hasn't acknowledged the severity of it. And police are not going to and shouldn't be expected to sit back and, you know, let their cars be burned, let stores be looted, let themselves be attacked. But when I've talked to people who worked for de Blasio, they've pointed out that, you know, in the protests in 2014, after Eric Garner's killing, the police took a more hands-off approach. They let people march and they didn't kind of instigate confrontations, and there was much less violence. And so what people see now is police being very confrontational, and those confrontations being the source of not all of the unrest, but enough of the unrest that you can say this policy isn't working.
Michelle Goldberg, opinion columnist with the New York Times, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much.